This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by French Lick Resort and Casino, Men O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Clark's Pump and Shop, and Dan Cummins of Paris and Georgetown. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the final round of the 120th U.S. Open Golf Championship from Mamaroneck, New York, at iconic Winged Foot. I can't do this. I just can't. This is going to be fun. Well, it's always fun. But in particular, this morning's edition is really going to be fun because, Sean, you know that I get up. I really love everybody and everything. But this morning, that might. I'm glad all of you have joined us here on Backspin Golf. And joining me now, first of all, Perry French is a regular thing. So I'm going to have to speak with him. No, he is really busy, and that's a great thing. He'll be back next week, and we'll get his thoughts on what happened this weekend at Winged Foot. So joining me now to discuss this leaderboard, this golf course, and most especially, two people I can't stand, and the announcing, which has been right up there with the worst ever in the history of golf. There, I said it, and I'll tell you why I think that. Our buddy Dan Houser, thestiffchef.com, joining me now from sunny Florida, I guess. I don't know. But he's the expert we always turn to. Hi, Danny boy.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going. You can tell I'm wound up, boy.
I'll say, how quickly can we get you on a plane up to New York? Because I would listen to the television broadcast a little bit more if we had your voice on it.
Boy, you got that right. Isn't that the truth? Because, you know, all right, let's just start there before we get to our leaderboard and what happened yesterday on Saturday in the third round. And we could talk about the first couple of rounds, too, if you want. But let's start with this broadcast. Now, everybody knows, Danny, as well as you do, that for the most part, I watch golf on mute, except for the European Tour, because it's about the people talking. It's about them. It's not about the golf. Well, these telecasts of the U.S. Open have taken that to an entirely new level. For me, all they have talked about for 3 days and the little bit where I've tried to listen is saying the most obvious thing possible, or for the billionth time, talking about the rough. And we'll talk about this. The rough hasn't really had that big an effect on it.
Let's also not forget
first,
the fact
let's
that
start there.
Let's also not forget that Rick Pitino lives at on Winged Foot, and he's supposedly a big golf fan, but I'm still waiting to find out if that's true or not. It's just the rumor swirling around. But golf is really better when you just let these guys, just let the game itself be the audio for the most part. And I do have to say, though, that one, I guess you could say, highlight of the coverage is I absolutely love Mike Tirico calling golf. I loved him calling golf when he was with ESPN and they had, the terms they did on ESPN and ABC for all of the years. So I've got to say that Mike Tirico on the mic for golf is fantastic. But yeah, that's about the only, I guess you could say, highlight so far of the television announcing coverage.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about Rick Pitino. He's been a member at Winged Foot for a long time, number one. Number two, I guess you're a big fan of golf if you buy a freaking house behind the 10th hole of the golf course. I guess you're a fan of golf. Maybe that's just me.
That'd be really poor real estate planning if you were not a fan of golf, that's for sure.
Yeah, all of a sudden you go, why are these golf balls in my backyard? What's going on here? Anyway, I've known Mike Tirico for a very long time, and I absolutely love him. Here's the problem is none of them, even Mike, and because I feel the way I do about Mike, I it's okay with me, and my friend Peter Jacobson is the same way. There was a 20-minute span on Saturday where I had the mute off, and nobody shut up for 20 minutes. There was no silence for 20 minutes, all of them. They all kept talking, and it's insane. And here's the thing, Dan. We're watching it on TV. So somebody hit it to 3 inches on one of the holes on their approach shot, and Steve Sands says, wow, that was a nice shot. Really? Okay, thanks. Thanks for that informative analysis. It's really disheartening to me because there's so much that really good analysts could be bringing to this kind of thing. But
all right. So I will say though, there is one other, I guess you could say, silver lining as well. So obviously Dan Hicks is also a member at Wingfoot. So not as much as I would have liked, but there have been some pieces here and there where he's kind of been able to kind of share some information with us that somebody who wasn't a member there might not be able to share. So that was nice too. But the problem is there's just so much stuff that we don't need that you almost sometimes miss the good things because it's mixed in with all the just dribbling on and on.
Absolutely. So what you're telling me is there were 4 remarks in a 6-hour telecast that might have been worth something. That's what you're telling me.
Okay. Around there, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay. All right, good. All right, enough of this. Let's get to our leaderboard. Now, when I had you on, and you know this, I refused to mention the 2 players who started round 3 in the same group, my worst nightmare. And I'm talking about, I'll call him P. Reed, and and Bryceps. Now, the great news about today, after the 3rd round, as we all know, if you're listening to this show, Matthew Wolf is leading at 5 under after one of the more incredible 65s ever shot in a major golf tournament. The guy hit 2 greens and shot 30 on the front. Two fairways, and shot 65. Then that other guy, the Hulk, is 2 shots back, and then Louis Oosthuizen at -1, and 3 guys, including the guy I think might win it tomorrow, Xander Schauffele, is in that group. And then, you know, there's a whole bunch of guys after.
Don't count out Rory at +1.
Well, I would love that. I'm not counting him out. I'm not sure. Here's the thing. If Matthew Wolf can get off to a decent start through the first 4 holes or 5 holes, which are very tough holes, I think he's going to be okay. These guys, by the way, the stats and the different things about these guys, Matthew Wolf is the youngest, I believe. Now, let me see if I have all this stuff written down. He's the youngest guy in 30 years to lead. He's 21 years old. And just like the last major winner, Colin Morikawa, who's also like 12, all these guys, they aren't afraid. They're not. Matt, do you agree with this statement? Matthew Wolf knows if somehow he doesn't get it done tomorrow, he's got another 20 years of trying to win a U.S. Open.
Yeah, would you agree with him? He's not worried about it. Okay, so here's an analogy I would have. And also, before I even get to this, here's a little fun fact for you. If Matthew Wolf closes this thing out today and he wins, he will be at the exact same time both the reigning U.S. Open champion and the reigning NCAA champion.
Oh.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Guys like Rory and Brooks and Justin Thomas and now the quote-unquote old guys on tour, even though they're not even old, those guys grew up watching Tiger, right? So they grew up watching Tiger have this no fear and whatnot, but, you know, they saw the fear in all these other players' eyes, so to say, when they went up against Tiger. So these now even younger guys, these guys like Matthew Wolf and these types of guys, they, I don't want to say grew up, but they were watching as they were getting through their high school and college years. They were watching guys like Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka, and guys who, pardon my language, just don't give an F, and they're just going to go out there, and they're going to swing away, and they're not going to really give a crap what happens. If it results in a win, great. If they don't win, they'll get them next week. So these guys all have that mentality now of, okay, I'm going to go out and play my game, and if I win this week, that's a bonus for me, and if I don't, I'm going to keep playing my game next week, and maybe my win will come next week. So, I would agree with you. If Matthew Wolf can play those first four holes in even –
right,
one under, even maybe even one over, I think the confidence level is going to be high enough of him that he knows, okay, my game's there today. I've got it. I just need to keep bringing it, and I'm going to win this thing.
Well, I agree 100% with you. And here's some more fun facts by the great Justin Ray. And people on Twitter, if you are a golf fan, you need to follow at Justin Ray Golf, JustinRay Golf. Listen to this, Dan. The last two U.S. Opens held in September. In 1913, 20-year-old Francis Ouimet won in his debut on September 20th. And we all know about the great Francis Ouimet story because there's movies about it.
Absolutely.
And this year, 21-year-old Matthew Wolf looking to win in his debut on September 20th. And Ouimet is the last to win the U.S. Open in his debut. I mean, there are all kinds of weird, crazy stats going into the final round today. So it's awesome. We got probably about...
Not only that, but kind of lost in all this, which is just insane to me because of how he came out and all the hype about him when he came out and how everyone just assumed he was going to win right away. But lost in all this conversation of all these now new young guns is Victor Hovland. Like, think about that. Victor Hovland is in this same group with all these other guys, and nobody's even talking about him anymore already. Like, think about that one for a minute.
Yeah, I know. It's sick. Well, here's the thing. The game of golf is in pretty good shape
going forward, I
would say. The reason that I'm saying Xander, he trailed by two or more in all four of his PGA Tour wins. He had a 70 today. Now listen to this. In the last 100 years, Bobby Jones is the only player with a better strokes gained per round average on the weekend in the U.S. Open than Xander Schauffele. I mean, tomorrow will be fun if we can just get the Hulk out of the way. Let him, I swear, every time he takes the club back, I'm praying for him to hit it out of bounds. I don't like doing that. I really don't, but
it's not even like in the past you could just root for him to hit it in the rough, but apparently these guys didn't get the memo that when you hit it in the rough, it's supposed to be penalizing because nobody's hitting a fairway and nobody's suffering, it would appear.
Well, that's exactly right. Except the guys that shot, you know, 16,
yes, of course.
Like Phil of course. And, you know, those guys. But
yeah, of course.
None of these guys. All right. We will talk very soon because do we just have any majors left? Do we have any golf left? Oh, yeah.
So we still have the Masters in November. Yeah. The rescheduled Masters will be in November. Right. So we got another 6 weeks or so until that.
Yeah.
But before that, we're going to have the West Coast Swing, and we're going to have those Asian Tour events that are now going to be played in the U.S. So we'll have Tiger in theory defending the Zozo at Sherwood.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got some stuff coming up.
Yeah, we do. All right. Thanks, brah.
All right.
Great talking to you. I'll be texting you during the afternoon.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. Take care, man. Thanks.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Man O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back. This is pretty cool because this guy is really good. He's really good. He's not only really good in terms of information and different things about golf, but he's funny. Wait, is he on, Sean? Is he listening? Maybe I shouldn't be this, you know, I shouldn't build him up like that. Anyway, my buddy Scott Michaud is, and I can't, I'm just going to say hello, and then I'm going to talk to you about what you're actually doing now, and then we'll talk a little U.S. Open. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm hanging in. I'm doing all right. Other than yelling at the TV, at the broadcast, as I always do.
That's a common affliction.
Every week. It is an affliction, isn't it? I need to start talking in my therapy sessions about this. I usually don't. But, all right, now I'm going to ask you, because I respect your opinion tremendously. Don't you think that, first of all, the build-up to this U.S. Open on live from the U.S. Open for 3 days, all we saw was about how difficult the rough was. 5 inches, we saw. Did you see that video of somebody putting an Arnold Palmer can in the rough? Did you see that?
Oh, I missed that one. That would have been great.
Yeah. One of the caddies, I think, put an actual, like, a tall guy, you know, an Arnold Palmer can, which is big, into the rough, and you couldn't even see the top of it. So my point is, that's all we heard. Why, when we're watching TV in the first half hour of the telecast of the week, did they tell us how difficult the rough was 40 times while we're watching it on TV? Shouldn't I be angry with that or no?
Well, what I'm angry with is, as difficult as the rough is, they don't show us guys having trouble hitting out of it very often. Either that, or these guys don't have trouble hitting out of it anymore.
Yeah.
Or that they're just the equipment and their training and all of the stuff that they use to prepare for these things makes it too easy for them, because nobody seems to be really having the rough time and rough that I'd really hope to see.
Well, even I talked about it, because we know about the 2006 U.S. Open at Wingfoot, the 1974 U.S. Open at Wingfoot, all this stuff, the winning scores, 5 over, 7 over, you know, this is going to be the real U.S. Open, the toughest examination, you know, and then you got guys, I mean, there were more under par rounds the morning wave of the first, I think there were 7 or 8 under par. There were 12 in the entire tournament in 2006. I mean, are the guys just that much better and stronger now?
Part of it's that. Part of it's the fact that the equipment is so good. They have every club dialed in precisely to handle whatever situation they are faced with. You know, the drivers are just so much more forgiving now. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you miss the face of one of these drivers anymore? Even I can hit a driver fairly decently on some occasions. And I could never hit a driver back in 1974 when I was starting to play golf.
Yeah.
So it made sense then to see those guys struggle like they did. Whereas now, I mean, it's just too forgiving, I think. And maybe DeChambeau is right the way he's doing it. Just hit it as far as you can, and with a wedge or a 9-iron in your hand, you should be able to get it up and around the green.
Mm-hmm.
Be okay.
Yeah, well,
I hate that.
Well, here's the rule, too, on this show. You are never to mention his name again, ever. That's what, Sean, we don't have that many rules on this show. There are two people you cannot talk about. One is Biceps, and the other is that guy that was in red pants with a white belt and a blue shirt on Thursday on the opening round. You don't mention his name either, even if he was on top of the leaderboard. I don't care. I don't care. That's the rule. Okay?
I can understand that. I can respect those rules.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you. All right, now, I want to talk more, obviously, about the U.S. Open, but I want you to tell our peeps, this is so great. You have covered not only golf, all sports, online, in newspapers for over 30 years, and done it fantastically. What you're doing now is One of my favorite groups of people is Global Golf Post on Twitter. Global. Why did I say global? What's wrong with me today? GlobalGolfPost.com. And you are doing a lot of work for them, writing, editing, design, different things. They are, that's a fantastic group of people.
It is, and it's quite a collection of people that I've known in this business for more than 20 years, many of them, and some much longer, like Ron Green Jr., who's been a longtime friend of mine, the guy I've traveled the world with playing golf. So it's really been enjoyable to join their staff and to get to help edit and you know, on occasion maybe improve something that they've sent in and or catch anything that's wrong. It's been a long time since I've done some of that stuff, so I'm enjoying doing that, and I still get to write for them for the global golf. You got me doing it.
Yeah.
Now you got me doing it. The Global Golf Post website, the Global Golf Post Plus. Or let's just call it GGP Plus.
Okay.
That's a lot easier to say.
Yeah, it is, and that saves me, too, so thank you for that. By the way, Ron Green Jr., for people that don't know, is absolutely one of the best journalists ever. And his dad also, right?
Exactly. You know, his father's Thanksgiving column was still probably many people's favorite thing that they ever read every year.
Yep.
And but no, Ron, like his father, is what I call one of the sports poets. They just write beautifully.
It's a great way to describe him. And I was introduced to him a long time ago when I was in North Carolina, and it's a blessing to read stuff that he's involved with. And how lucky are you that you got to travel the world with him and play golf? I know we didn't know each other, but I can't believe you never invited me on any of those trips. That's it's just wrong.
Well, I'm sorry, but you know, we've got a standing force. If anybody drops out, I'll let you know.
Oh, okay, that's good. Whenever it is that we can travel the world to play golf again, you mean?
Exactly. I hope we get to again.
Yeah, we will. All right. Now, here's the other thing. Everybody that listens to this show knows, because I talk about it, that Ireland is my favorite place in the world. I've been lucky enough to be there on extended trips twice, and I've been all over the world. It's my favorite place. You are covering the majors for the Irish Examiner. How cool is that, Scott Michaud?
It is. I'd love to be able to commute to the office every now and then, because like you, I love Ireland. I've been twice, and it's just fabulous. You know, golf doesn't get much better.
And the people.
The courses they have there. And the people even love Americans, which is what makes it even nicer.
Yeah.
They welcome you.
Yes.
when you go there, which is not always the case.
Correct.
Every other foreign country.
Yep.
No, they really do, and they called me up early in the year and asked if I was interested in doing the majors for them, just because it's so difficult for their golf writer Simon Lewis mm-hmm. to travel to the U.S. It's just too expensive now for papers to be doing that kind of stuff. So,
right.
So I was tabbed to do that, and I have yet to actually attend a major on their behalf. I cover them from my living room.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
hopefully, when the Masters shows up, I'll make the cut to get over to Augusta and actually cover one on site.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be great. All right, let's. Your tweet, as I said, I follow you. They're so funny, a lot of them. You put on Thursday, Shane Lowry birdie start at the Bob Hope U.S. Open. So, what? We talked about the technology. We talked about, that guy who hits it as far as he can and has 90 yards in and gouges it out. But this week, all the talk this week about historic winged foot was about how this was going to be the toughest examination maybe ever. If you watch the media, the press conferences leading up to the first round, I mean, you listen to these guys and it's like, the 20 over par was going to win, and it just ain't happening.
And I tell you, when you know, when you see the videos, like you mentioned, of the Arnold Palmer can and stuff, you believe it. You think it's got to be this way. And unfortunately, I guess today the course is a little bit soft, so these guys are able to hold these greens, and they're not out of control. And I've been a little disheartened to see the number of red figures this morning, but I can only hope that if everything stays pretty dry, that by this weekend we will get to see what we expected to see from Wingfoot.
Yeah.
Because it's such a great golf course.
Have you played it? Oh wait.
I did.
Let me say this. Just shut up for a minute. So I'm going. Sean's very upset with the way I talk to my guests. I don't know why. I actually know that you did, because early on in the first round, you tweeted something about something you did at Wingfoot. Why don't you tell us about that?
we sort of snuck on the day after the 2006.
Sweet.
One of the two of us, we were rooming together, and Steve Elling was the CBSSports.com golf writer at the time, and we were staying together and traveling using the same car, and one of us qualified for the day after media lottery, and the other one did not. But since we were carpooling, we thought, hey, let's just go see what happens. And we both went and teed off the 10th hole, kind of snuck out there, and just went off and played. And so we finished up on number 9, which that year was played as a par 4, 520 some yards.
Yeah.
This year they're actually playing it as a par 5, but it's always been a members par 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked off after a 40-foot eagle putt dropped in, and my first walk-off eagle of my life and last.
Wow. Well, see, not many people can say this, especially as they're watching the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. But I've always said, one of the greatest things about golf is we get to play courses that the pros play on. You can't go to Yankee Stadium and play center field. You can't, obviously. But I did it at Royal Birkdale, and every time I see Royal Birkdale in the open rota, I have memories of what I did on certain holes that the best players in the world didn't do. There weren't that many shots like that, but there were a few there, and it's an incredible feeling.
Exactly. I remember I made a par on the 18th at Carnoustie, the only time I played it, and I was wondering how much John Vandeville would have paid for that.
Oh. See, and that too, because we see that 18th hole, and I got to know Vandeville a little bit, and he's the most wonderful guy in the world.
What a great guy.
Oh,
absolutely fantastic.
Just incredible.
If you've never seen the infomercial he did for Never Compromise Putters after that British Open.
I haven't seen that.
It is a 20-minute infomercial for a putter where he goes back and tries to beat his score on the 18th hole using only a putter in the middle of winter.
Oh.
And it is the funniest, best infomercial that's ever been made.
Well,
look it up on YouTube.
I will do that. And just real quickly, I got to know him. He played in Peter Jacobson used to have an event in Portland every year, the Fred Meyer Challenge, and I was playing in that, and he was there. And afterwards, there was not that many pros there, and we were sitting in this area. And I walked up to him, and I had talked to him before the round a little bit, and I asked him for if I could have his autograph. And I don't do that often. And like most people, just write their name or they write best wishes. I still have it. John Vandeville wrote to me, "Matthew, a pleasure to meet you. Please join me sometime for a game of golf." John Vandeville.
Wow.
I just thought that was the coolest. It's so French and so John Vandeville that I thought, oh, man, it's so cool. Anyway, it's great to talk to you, and I will talk to you again real soon, and hopefully even sooner than later we'll get to actually go out and play around together and sit and talk. It's always great to talk to you. Scott, thanks for jumping on with me.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling me.
Okay. See ya.
Bye.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome. Welcome back. Backspin Golf. We're recording this a couple days before our actual live show on Sunday morning, which we do for the final round of every major. But I needed to get in touch with my pal, Ryan French. You know him as Monday Q Info, or on Twitter at A Case of the Golf One, with his almost 40,000 followers. Now, that's right, Sean. He's a big shot. Because he's, A, tired from an experience he just had, an incredible experience. But while he's been doing that, he's been just doing something really incredible on top of it. So I thought, let's just talk to him and get it out of the way. Hey, Ryan French, how are you doing?
Guys, how are you? Thank you very much, as always, for having me on my favorite radio show.
Oh, well, that's awful nice of you to say, but you're a big shot. I go on your Twitter account, is all kinds of stuff you're doing, but keep it up. Keep saying that, because it makes me and Sean feel good. all right. Now, this is kind of hard. I want to start. Well, let's start with your experience that you just had over this past weekend. I want you to tell everybody. You caddied. Normally, you're just talking about everybody trying to make it either to the PGA Tour, whatever all the Monday qualifiers are about. And it's absolutely one of the best Twitter accounts and websites that there are, because these stories are amazing and you're so great in telling them. But all of a sudden, you were caddying in an event, and the Twitter account of it and the wrap-up of it was fantastic. So tell our peeps, first of all, how did this come about?
Yeah, so, the event was actually, there's always an event in Chicago, a Korn Ferry event, mm-hmm. and they had to move the location this year, so because of COVID, they moved the event, and the event happened to be about 10 minutes from my house, so it worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
Mark Baldwin and I have become friends via Twitter, and super nice guy, and he doesn't have a regular caddy. And so he said, hey, do you want to be my caddy? And I said, I'd love to. It'd be an awesome experience. So I'm by no means a professional caddy, but I know a few things about golf. So
and you can carry a bag. You're a healthy guy. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so Chicago Highlands is a lot of hills. They got taller, I think, each day.
Oh, boy.
But, I made it through. It's an awesome experience to be inside the ropes. If a developmental tour or a mini tour event comes to your and they're looking for caddies, do it in a minute if you can do it. It's just an awesome way to see great golf. It really is. I'm very, very lucky to have some great experiences, and this was amongst them.
Okay, well, so Mark Baldwin, talk to us a little bit about him. And this was a Korn Ferry event?
Yeah, Korn Ferry event. I mean, it just really speaks, Matthew, to how talented these guys are.
Oh, yeah.
Mark is struggling this year. He's like 120th on the money list or points list. But, I mean, Thursday, I mean, it was blowing 25 miles an hour, and Mark shot 69. And on this course is really long. I mean, we hit, Mark hit, I think, 4 or 5 two irons into par fours.
Wow.
I mean, the course was playing really long. It just really speaks to a guy who's just had a tough year.
Yeah.
And how amazingly good pro golfers are. So, he's a great dude. Very talented, obviously. Just hasn't had a great year. And it was awesome to be inside the ropes and kind of see it firsthand.
Now, how much did you actually do for him? Have you played Chicago Highlands before? It's 10 minutes from your house. So,
yeah, a friend of mine, Charlie Netzel, who plays in China, is a member there and was nice enough to have me out a couple weeks ago. And so, yes, it's a very difficult course. Unfortunately, it rained, so it softened up the course. And a soft course for these guys is like shooting darts, even with long irons in their hands. So it's unfortunate we didn't get to see it when it's hard and fast. But, yeah, and I did, I mean, by no means am I a professional caddy. I confirmed yardages, so I would do my own yardages, and he would do his. And he's like, hey, you got, you know, 240. If he was unsure on a read, he would bring me in, and I think I might have got one or two right and four or five wrong. But, you know, what are you going to do? A couple of great experiences from it, Matthew. I got to play on Sunday. We played with Will Zalatoris, and he's already won twice. He's going to be a superstar, and, man, it was a pretty awesome experience to watch him. He had 17 greens, shot 8 under.
Wow.
The guy's really, really good. He's going to be a superstar. He's at the U.S. Open this week, and I counted amongst one of the cooler things that I have been able to do is watch him for 18 holes. He's very talented.
We're speaking with Ryan French, of course, Monday Q Info, and at A Case of the Golf, and the number one. On the Korn Ferry Tour, I think if you win 3 times, you get an automatic promotion to the tour. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. So he's won twice.
Yeah, and he finished one back here. Would have got him to the tour. So there was definitely, you know, some pressure. I mean, he's awesome. He really is.
All right. Now, you also said, I see here, tell me about the slowest player you've ever seen.
So, the kid is really talented, played at Vanderbilt. His name is Theo Humphrey. And unfortunately, I don't know if you remember when Sergio was kind of going.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of had the yips, and he would re-grip and walk behind it and re-grip again.
Re-grip 10 times before he swung.
Yep. Yeah, this kid has it too. And, I mean, it's really unfortunate because it's unfair to the players that he was playing with. And Matt Atkins were the other two players in the group. And, you know, we were put on the clock as a group on the third hole. And, you know, everybody else speeds up, and this guy just continues to slow down. It's just really unfair to the players he's playing with. It's obviously something mental that he needs to go get help with. And I honestly, I kind of feel bad for him because it looks like he's struggling with it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, these guys are out there, you know, this is their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And when one person affects multiple people, it's just unfair.
So
it really brings up the discussion of what to do with solo players.
Right. Right.
He's gotten fined plenty of times. It obviously hasn't worked. You know, it really just brings up the fact that the guy needs to be given some stroke penalties, and then he'll learn.
There are a lot of people that feel that way, that a fine is not enough. It's not, you know, they go, okay, so what? But and so he's played. There's a threesome, and people should know if that group is put on the clock, all three guys are put on the clock, right?
Exactly.
It's not just, just him.
Yeah, Mark and Matt are just like regular players. I wouldn't call them fast, but definitely not slow.
Yeah.
And so they have to speed up their routine because they're included in the being put on the clock. And this guy just can't pull the trigger. And so he actually slowed down. I assume it's from, you know, anxiety and stuff like that. But, again, it's unfair. We were basically running between shots, and we didn't have anything to do with, you know, being put on the clock.
Pausing it. Right. All right, and before we move on to that other thing I want to talk about, tell us about, you have carry bag versus tour bag.
So for those that don't know, the tour bag is the big bags that you
the
see.
The big bag,
and carry bags are the ones that most all of us use. And most Korn Ferry players, and obviously all PGA Tour members, use the tour bag. So Mark, since I'm not a regular caddy, Mark ordered a carry bag from Srixon to have, but it didn't show up the first couple days. So I was stuck with the tour bag. I mean, it's 55 pounds.
Oh.
And I was fine the first day, But I'm sure glad that Carrie Bag showed up the next day, because I'm not sure I would have made it. It rained a couple of days, so that obviously makes everything heavier.
Yeah.
Doing a lot more, those kind of things. So I am, by the last day, yesterday I just sat on the couch all day and took aspirin. So I am very glad that Carrie Bag showed up.
Well, just to wrap this up, I'll tell you, you're to be commended. I know it was a great experience for you, but you're to be commended for doing this, because not everybody, I would love to do it, but I'm too old. I could never do it. And my friends would all go, yeah, I'll caddy. I want to do that. And they don't really have any idea what they're getting into. So you're to be commended.
Walking 7-8 miles a day is with a bag in your back. It gets a bit tiring after a while. It's a testament to the guys that do it every week as a full-time caddy, for sure.
Oh, yeah. All right. I want to move on to this. So I guess it was a couple days ago. I look on your Twitter account, and there's a whole thread about a tweet from this coach who you had a story with a high school team. He said, "We're in the same boat." This is amazing. 100% of our students receive free breakfast and lunch. Approximately 80% are below the poverty line. All but one golfer has secondhand clubs. Is this a high school? It's a high school, right?
Yeah, it's a high school. So, yeah, how it started is Mark was actually, Mark is just a super great guy. Had a bunch of balls that he'd been on the road for like 7-8 weeks. And for those that don't know, pro golfers use a ball about five holes, or until it gets a nick on it, and then they use a new ball. So most of the balls are perfectly fine for you and I. We'd use them forever.
Right.
And so he said, hey, you know, and then he had a couple of dozen left over, brand new ones. And he said, hey, why don't you do something with this? Give it away or something. And so, in previous times, I know high schools were looking for it, so I just put out a tweet and said, hey, if there's high schools looking for golf balls, send me a direct message. And I got a ton.
Yeah.
And I really try to help ones that really need it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you saw the direct message. I got a couple, both from pretty poor rural areas that guys you know, the coaches are struggling to find balls and clothes and clubs and anything.
Everything.
Yeah, and both the coaches had a no-cut rule, so if you showed up and showed up to practice, you were going to play on the team regardless of what you shot and those kind of things. So, I mean, it really just took off from there. It was, you know, I love it. I love that I have a platform that I can do this. I love that people, it really makes you realize how many good people are out there. And Dunning Golf Company, they make clothes, are going to hook them up with clothes. We got them. John Peterson, who was on and off the tour, is sending them balls. I'm sending them balls. A ton of people are sending them balls. Ed Lohr, they needed left-handed golf clubs. Ed Lohr is a former Korn Ferry member, sending them a bunch of left-handed clubs. It's awesome. I'm very humbled to have a platform to be able to do it.
Yeah, but you did it. I mean, that's these kids, this team, they're going to get online lessons as well as the clothes, balls, for new balls for each round, practice balls. One follower donated $300 to do as they wanted to. And as you say, so much of Twitter is horrible. But the good part of Twitter, for example, me meeting you, and now, you know, I consider you a really good friend now, even though we've never met, which is how Twitter works. We all have, especially in the golf community, to see people step up this way is really the best thing about Twitter. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, as I've grown more popular, the side of Twitter sometimes becomes frustrating, and I really try my best to, you know, look at it from a positive light, and these things make that much easier.
Yeah.
A guy just sent me a message and said, hey, I'm going to send him 15 dozen balls. I mean, I've never met this guy. He doesn't know the coach.
See.
And you, out of your own pocket to pay for 15 dozen balls and send it to a team that you've never met is unreal. And talked to the coach yesterday. He's obviously overwhelmed and very appreciative. He's going to try to put together, he's going to take some of the money that was donated and hopefully get these kids to Scottsdale next year. Most of the kids have never been out of the city. And so.
Is this, you know, Chicago? Is this a school in Chicago?
It's not. It's in Ohio. It's a rural town outside of Cleveland. And, you know, they're going to try to get the kids to Scottsdale. And he's like, you know, this will be a lifetime trip. Their parents haven't been out of the state. You know, these kids don't have much.
Right.
So new golf bags and new golf clothes and new golf balls mean a lot more than it does to people who have been lucky enough to have that, you know, their whole life.
Right.
So,
right. I got chills. Awesome. Get chills. It's
same.
Fantastic.
I mean, it's awesome to see.
Well, next time, very soon, you and I will get back to talking about Monday qualifying and the stories that you keep in front of all of us. But I don't know when I've enjoyed a conversation more than this one, Ryan, between your exploits, carrying a bag, and this story. It's just great. So thank you so much. As always, you rock, dude. You really rock.
Thank you. And I say it every time I'm on here, the first show I was ever on.
Well,
always very special to me. You've been great to me, and I can't thank you enough.
Well,
and we are good friends despite not meeting.
Well, we will too soon. You can caddy for me. All right.
All right. Sounds good.
No, wait. I'll caddy for you. Forget that. I'm not worthy. Be safe, man, and I'll talk to you real soon. Take care.
Thanks very much.
Okay. See you, Ryan.
Bye bye.
All right. That'll do it for this edition of Backspin Golf on the Sunday of the final round of the 120th U.S. Open. I like Dan's idea about me being on the television broadcast. I like that.
Yes.
I'm going to work on that. Yeah, I'm going to work on that. All right. We'll be back next week. We'll talk about this final round coming up. Thanks, as always, to our incredible partners, French Lick Resort, Man of War Golf, Man of War Golf, Edwin Watts, CCU, Commonwealth Credit Union, NFP Insurance, Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown, Lexington Parks and Rec for the great golf courses that we have here. And we'll be back next week with another edition of Backspin Golf right here on ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5. Have a great Sunday.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.